We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Zach Meisel is with us. Zach, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Bull, have you watched Tiger King yet?
I'm to the point now where everybody's talking about it. I'm like annoyed. I almost don't want to watch it for that reason. But I trust you. You think I should watch it?
Yeah, I mean, what is the harm? I mean, this is the only time in our lives where you can't say, I'll never get that hour back.
That's true.
We have.
You like it?
Yeah, I mean, I do think the hype is... It's
so much hype.
It's a little too much for me, but it was so compelling. It was like a crazy, crazy show meets the most compelling episode of 2020 you've ever seen.
All right. Everybody keeps telling me to watch it.
Just give it a shot, Bull. It's going to become a cult classic, like a lot of these things we see, because it's the characters. Like, you can't make up these characters. They don't seem like real humans. Like, you couldn't even, like, have actors act the way these people act. They're just that bizarre and special in their own unique way. That's all I can say.
All right.
And I think the producers didn't even really know what they were getting into as they went along, because they spent hours chronicling these people. I mean, years chronicling these people, and it just kept developing into more and more. I wouldn't steer you wrong.
All right. Zach, I trust you. I trust you. And Dustin's telling me he liked most of the shows he's recommended. So, all right, I may have to finally do this. I haven't wanted to cave because everybody's been obsessed with it. But anyway, by the way, you got a book coming out, huh?
I do, yeah.
Tell us about this.
You can pre-order it now on any website you want.
Plenty of time to read.
Yeah, really. This actually worked out well, although I've been thinking about how nice it would have been to write a book during quarantine instead of having it come out during quarantine. Yeah. It's all about the 95 Indians. It's called Cleveland Rocked, the personality, sluggers, and magic of the 95 Indians. We have forewords from Sandy Alomar Jr. and Jim Thome. And it's really just chronicling every single minute of maybe the most memorable season in team history. You know, I know there probably aren't many people listening right now who remember the 1948 World Series, so this is as good as it gets how after four decades of misery, this team and a just tremendous cast of characters galvanized the city of Cleveland and made it cool and fun to appreciate baseball in Cleveland again.
Did you get to talk to Albert Bell at all for this? Would he talk?
I don't want to spill that little nugget yet, because that's an interesting one. I will say Albert Bell and I did have conversations about the book and about things. That's more of a story over a few beers, I think, or maybe down the road once the book's out.
All right.
But everybody else, absolutely. I think I talked to, 90% of players, front office people, coaches.
We're talking with Zach Meisel. Zach, let's get it before we get into the schedule. Let's talk about – I called you last week because right at the end of our show, I think it was Friday. I don't remember what day it was now. It's all blending together. But the Indians made some roster moves where they sent James Karinchak and they sent Plesac and they sent Savali, I think one or two others. I can't remember now who, down to the minors. And, I called you because I wanted to discuss, it didn't make sense because we know those guys are not all going to be in the minors when the season starts. Mm-hmm. So have we been able to figure out now exactly what's going on with those transactions?
Yeah, so a couple things. Number one, that a handful of teams made similar moves.
Right.
And it might even be more than that. But that came out you know, right before the announcement of, you know, the league and the Players Association agreeing on what would happen if the season was canceled and what needs to happen for baseball to come back. So what teams did was, in a lot of cases, you saw them send guys to AAA, and two things. Number one, it gives you a little bit more manipulation of service time depending on what happens. You know, if no season happens, then guys who are in the minors, I think the rule is you get similar to the service time you accumulated a year ago, rather than, you know, like Francisco Lindor is going to get a year of service time no matter what. So that was one part of it. And the other part is they're waiving the rule where you usually have to wait, I think, 10 days to be recalled once you're sent down, unless you're replacing an injured player on the roster. That wouldn't be the case. So I know a lot of people have asked. Right. There were the four guys they sent to AAA, and it was Karinchak, Plesak, Savali, and Zimmer. The first three are going to be on the opening day roster, assuming there's a season, more than likely, and they wouldn't have to wait the 10 days. They could just recall them immediately. So it gives the Indians a little bit of flexibility, too. And whenever a season does start, assuming it's going to be this crazy, you know, if they do play and it's going to be some crazy, like, 80 to 100 game schedule with doubleheaders and who knows if there will be neutral sites and all this stuff, you're probably going to have expanded rosters to begin the season anyway. So a lot of people have said, oh, is it going to be Plesac? Is it going to be Savali? Like, there's a good chance it'll be both. And they'll go with six starting pitchers, and it'll just be all hands on deck.
Zach, what are the thoughts, some of the ideas as to when they possibly could start the season, and in terms of the amount of games and all that stuff? I'm curious your thoughts there.
Yeah, I think because this is such uncharted territory and it's so unprecedented, and it seems like there's a new development every day or some wrinkle that at least has to factor into the thinking. Like, okay, now the city of Toronto has, you know, their ban on public gatherings for, I think, what, through the end of June? Well, that, you know, that's not going to affect, that doesn't mean baseball has to wait until that's over, but it adds an element that they have to consider. And it seems like there's something every single day that pops up. So their stance right now is, let's not eliminate any train of thought and let's just throw everything on the table and try to keep tabs on what maybe would be the top choice, what would be next, what's worst case scenario, you know, at what date do they have to just accept that, oh, there's not enough time to play enough games to have a season, you know, like just trying to keep things organized like that. But really it's so hard because it seemed, remember when the NBA first canceled things and it seemed like, okay, it'll be a 2-week break and then we'll get back to things and assess and see where we are. And, you know, then, or a 30-day break, and then, you know, just like, it seems like every day or every week it's hard to call it a setback just because we don't really know what we're dealing with, but it just seems like we're not going to know the answers and we're not even going to be able to narrow it down for a while. I know baseball, they want to play as many games as possible for revenue purposes, for just the interest and health of the sport, but, you know, you're not going to play 162. You're probably not going to play 140 or 150, and at some point you have to determine what's the bare minimum number of games you can play to have a legitimate season, or do you have to do something creative and outside the box and just do something completely different? Well, baseball is a traditionalist game, and they normally don't think like that. So this is a really long-winded way of saying I have no idea. I don't think anybody does. And basically, just any ideas on the table right now are just so that they have something they can fall back upon.
What about playing doubleheaders, and how many could they play?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. And they would make it so that, like I said, like you'd have expanded rosters, I think, just so that you don't have to run these guys into the ground. I think everybody is for double headers at least once in a while, just so that you can play more games, so the league can make more revenue, players can make more of their salary. But again, it's also, you don't want it to be a detriment where you're not going to have a normal spring training, and then all of a sudden you're going to be playing 8 or 9 games a week. Well, that's something your body's never been used to. So there just has to be a balance. And if you have 28 or 30 man rosters, it makes it a little bit more feasible.
We're talking with Zach Meisel. Zach, you know, you talked about being open-minded to all kinds of changes. Baseball's traditional. You're right. It feels like both sides, because they want to play as many games as possible, are going to be more open-minded than they usually are. We'll see if that plays out depending on when they are able to come back. You know, I was talking the other day about, let's get every team down to South Florida and play there. I think Florida might be tough. Obviously, their governor's a bumblehead and just, you know, shut things down today. So they're in bad shape. We don't know where we'll be, but whether it's, you know, wherever it may be, I wonder if they'd even consider that type of drastic step, because if you're playing in front of no crowds, you could play in college stadiums, you could do anything. Maybe they even play the season where everybody's in the same, you know, within a couple of miles or a couple of hours of each other. I think they've really got to be open to any option to get in a season, maybe.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like I said, with Toronto, okay, well, you know, the Blue Jays aren't going to be able to play at home until at least July. And other cities, you know, it's because every city and every state is kind of doing this on their own, it's not going to be an even playing field in terms of logistics and what you're able to do. So you're going to have to get creative. It's been interesting watching the different sports leagues kind of float ideas out there. And, you know, I know people have written, would the NBA consider like a play-in tournament to determine the final playoff spots? And so, like, it's interesting to see what leagues are more open-minded than the others. I think you're going to have to get creative. You know, the one thing that I can't get over is, even if you play at a neutral site in front of no fans,
yeah,
you still have to put people up in hotels. Are you sure that hotel employees are healthy and safe and aren't carrying? Are you sure that the clubhouse staff members, the cameramen, the, you know, security people, like, it's really hard to wrap my head around everything that would need to be in place for this to be a go. And even at the bare minimum levels. So that's why I hope that there are sports. We need it. I mean, yeah. Justin, I've heard you say that you're itching to gamble on something or just
something.
Watch anything live.
You want to play some war?
Online poker has been pretty helpful lately, but I think it's critical. Like it's really difficult to kind of just gauge everything that would have to be perfect for this to happen. And I don't know how realistic that is.
Zach Meisel is with us. Zach, let's pretend for a minute that there's going to be baseball soon. And, you know, we don't know, but in terms of the team itself, because I feel like we just haven't talked about the team in forever, and I just want to do it and live in La La Land for a minute. In terms of the team itself and how you thought they were coming together in spring training, how did they look to you through that time? And, you know, what were your expectations going into the season?
Yeah, admittedly, I think it's natural just to have a more optimistic viewpoint in spring training, just because it's easier to see things that stand out well, I think. And like watching Framil Reyes and Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor just destroy every single pitch they saw in Arizona made me think that maybe the lineup's going to be a little better than we anticipated. Mm. And yeah, the outfield it's got some question marks, especially with Jake Bowers struggling and they're not really being an answer there necessarily, at least part of the time in left field. But, I thought the lineup actually had some promise. I really thought Framil Reyes was headed for like a 45 home run season and becoming a fan favorite in the city. I had some questions with the pitching staff. The bullpen to me seemed like it was going to be a little rough at the beginning of the year and then get better at the end of the year when you can get a healthy Emmanuel Clase A back. Karinchak maybe is more established. You know, you have extra starting pitchers. So if Plesac, who looked really good this spring, and Savali kind of cemented themselves in the rotation, well, then maybe you could throw Tristan McKenzie in the bullpen in the second half. Maybe you can throw Logan Allen back there. And it seemed intriguing. So it's weird to think how a shortened season might affect them, because you wouldn't have that gradual build, but they'd be healthier. And I think that obviously benefits them, and they can rely on their star power more and not have to worry about surviving April and May with limited depth. I think, you know, this, who knows how this will impact every team. And if they play 100 games instead of 162, like, anything could happen. But I do think there are some things that could play to their advantage. But, you know, who knows? After a long layoff, it's not like these guys just pick up a bat and they're ready to go. It takes some time.
Zach, last thing from me. You know, Lindor obviously has this season and next season before he becomes a free agent. If they don't play a season, he loses a year. Well, the team does, and it hurts his value. How concerned should we be about that?
Yeah, it's just – it's unbelievable how – I mean, I guess it's worse if you're a Dodgers fan and you traded for Mookie Betts and then there's not a season, so he never plays a game for the Dodgers, and then he becomes a free agent and you just gave away those prospects for nothing. But this is probably second. I mean, it's if there's no season, Francisco Lindor still gets a year of service time. So he is a free agent after the 2021 season, no matter what. So really what it does is it eliminates a time, you know, if they got off to a slow start in the first half, they were probably going to be cornered into at least having to seriously consider trading him at the trade deadline. Well, now, you know, if you play 100 games, are you really going to know 60 games in with all this craziness going on if your team has a legit shot at a championship or not? Like, it's tougher to determine that, so it probably makes it less likely you could trade him during the season if there is a season. If there's not a season, well, then you probably don't have as much leverage on the trade market as you normally would have. And you have to just determine, is it better if we just hang on to him for the 2021 season or take what we can get? And that's not a situation anyone would want to be in.
Zach, great stuff, man. Good luck with the book. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to your report on Tiger King. Enjoy it.
Zach Meisel.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.